Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so incredibly excited to introduce you to Coach AJ, who is from Romkey and Guidance by AJ, to teach us a little bit about money, finances, and all of those topics that we tend to shy away from. AJ, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I am so excited to dive into this with you. And we were having this discussion before the recording started. We shy away from talking about finances and from talking about looking after and managing our money. And it's so crucial and so important to a well-rounded and balanced life. But before we get there, give us a little bit of insight into who you are, where you came from, and how you got into finance.
Sure. So my name is Anjanae, everybody. Feel free to call me AJ. My background was simply, I learned from experience, and then I started to look at everyone around me when I was working in property management, how money management was happening in their life, the conversations I would have with them when I would try to help them sort out paying their rent, because part of my job was collecting rent. And it was always something, you know, utilities and all this stuff. And so I started actually sitting down with people and trying to help them sort out their finances. And I just realized there was a lot of misinformation, a lot of just not managing, making poor decisions. And so I just started to figure out like, well, I can't, they started to get upset with me because of how much time I was spending with the residents trying to help them. I actually was the person that was communicating with agencies that helped pay for rental assistance. I helped people get money from them. That's how much I cared. That was not part of my job description, but I didn't want to see somebody and their kids homeless over poor money management. And that was my agreement was meet with me. Let's talk about your budget. What's your next check looking like? Give me this much, pay this, pay that, and then we'll be fine. Like I used to make those type of arrangements with them and they were so mad at me, Brooke, but I cared, you know, and when I realized that I couldn't stay in that industry because people would be so upset with me about it, I was like, how can I create something where it's a safe space for someone to come and say, I don't know. And I was never taught. And I know how to count, but I don't know. Sometimes I just swipe my card and I look at my account and it doesn't make sense, you know? And so that's kind of how I got started. Having a personal situation of chasing money and still being ended up homeless twice. I don't know how that even happened, but I realized that I was just chasing a job and not really looking at what kind of life I wanted to live, what my bills really were, and how what I needed to make, you know, for that to happen. I didn't put the portfolio together correctly, if that's how we should say it. So yeah, that's kind of how I got here.
Oh my goodness. And you're right on one thing. Nobody teaches this stuff. You might learn how to add and subtract and multiply, but when you bring it into the real world with bills, with utilities, with rent, like you're talking about, it becomes very daunting and very overwhelming very fast. What was your own financial journey like?
So my journey was watching everybody kind of live their life either on credit or borrowing from each other. It was a lot of trips. I remember being very young, getting up early, and we would go to like the churches to get food and stuff, right? And then next thing I know, we're headed to a place where they're pulling out their credit card for like fancy purses and nice little suits and clothes. Like appearance was a big thing to my family growing up. So a lot of the time I saw a lot of shopping. There was a lot of shopping going on, a lot of maneuvers being made so that shopping could happen. Let's just say that. So as I got older, I just became obsessed with, you know, my appearance, and I wanted to look a certain way and I wanted to shop at certain places and wear a certain type of polos because that's what everyone else was wearing. And I was really soaked up in that. And then as I got older, I realized having a full closet does not necessarily benefit you when you don't have anywhere to live. So I had to really adjust my mindset to like having, you know, putting my needs first and not using retail therapy to satisfy whatever I was covering up on the inside. Because a lot of times when someone's very obsessed with their outer appearance, there's a lot on the inside that they aren't able to deal with. And that was kind of part of my journey. So I had to make the outer appearance look good so that no one could see that I was falling apart on the inside. So, you know, going into homelessness twice, I had a place and just made a decision that to buy a vehicle when I had a paid off vehicle and change a job at the same time was just the worst thing I could have possibly done. But it was a very toxic work environment. I was trying to go back to temping so I could find a new place to permanently work, and I didn't find permanent work fast enough. So it was very challenging at that time. And then I sort of started getting back on my feet, and then I found out I was pregnant.
That'll throw a wrench in everything.
Total wrench, okay? I was like, all right, baby is coming and we're donating plasma for food. Okay, so I was like, I gotta do something.
This is slightly unideal.
It is. It very much so. But I have to be real because there's some people that could listen to this that are going through that and probably in school, probably pretty young, or know someone who went through a situation like this and really needs to understand like that journey. This is not about me telling a sob story. This is like me bouncing from job to job, trying to find something that was going to make me money quickly, trying to build my way up, like get a higher wage, higher wage, higher wage. And then figuring out now as an adult that creating my own income was the best thing I could possibly do for myself because it allows me to have a little bit more control over it. And I don't have to worry about like randomly going to work and I'm not needed anymore. You know, like there's someone out there that needs, you know, the type of help that I offer in my company. And I, you know, offer so many different things. There really isn't anything I can't do that can bring in something. But so to sum it all up, I had my baby and I started over. I was able to get into, you know, a housing development. I went back and finished cosmetology school. And I was like, what's the plan? What are we going to do? And I was able to really sit with myself and figure out how I got there. And I want to have this conversation now because I also started college when my baby was 2 weeks old. I was in cosmetology school my entire pregnancy.
And that is so hard to balance everything.
It was very difficult, but it was me trying to not feel so horrible about what I allowed my life to turn into because of poor money management, because I was chasing, you know, money to have like, oh, I didn't want to have this 99 Camry anymore. I want to have an SUV. I learned how to drive SUVs. I want to drive, you know, so I go get one. And then I'm like, I cannot stand this job. These people are so toxic. And it honestly, that's a thing out here. Part of why I work for myself is because I don't like toxic work environments. And I believe there's no amount of money you can pay me to deal with toxic people. So that's partially why I currently am a business owner. And a lot of reasons why other people choose to do so. Yeah, so that's kind of what my journey looked like. It was a bumpy ride, but I feel like I got a lot of strength out of it. I understood decisions that I shouldn't make anymore. I learned how to control my impulse. Because when you lose things constantly, when you actually have access to funds to get those things back, you start to overdo it. And then you fall right back into the same habits over and over again because now you're trying to acquire losses again. Like I lost all my clothes in storage. When I was storing it at a family member's house, they had a flood and all of my clothes and shoes were in there. And so I was living out of a laundry basket for like a year until my baby got here, you know? So it was a lot of changes and humble moments that happened for me where I was like, I'll never go through that again. And everything I've done since then has really allowed me to not go through that again.
You know, you have the most incredible story. And one thing that really stands out to me about what you said is what you saw growing up impacted you. So your family loved retail therapy. They loved shopping and therefore you loved it. And that's so important for our audience. How does what you see in terms of money, money management and finances growing up impact you in the long run? What does that look like when someone can identify my family behaves like this around money and I want to either be or do differently? How can someone go in that process? Because you had to make the decision to leave that shopping retail therapy life.
Well, the best thing they can do is evaluate, you know, those moments when they were told to stay in a child's place and when they were what they call ear hustling. What did you hear? What did you see? When they weren't going out and shopping and keeping their hair done, nails done, looking good, keeping up with the Joneses, who were they at home? What were the conversations they would have? What were some of the arguments you would overhear? Would they be about money? Would they be about the bills not getting paid? Would you walk around and see someone looking amazing from head to toe and their kids maybe not looking the same? Or maybe everyone looked nice, but they never had a place to live. You know, what were those scenarios? And it's not about pointing the finger at them. It's like, if you want to create different, you have to fully understand the picture of that person's life. You can't say, I don't want to be a shopaholic. Well, why were they a shopaholic? What were they running from? What were they trying to become? What part of them were they trying to reach for that you only see in certain instances? Like, you have to actually maybe sometimes ask questions. Like, hey, I mean, I know this might be a little offensive, but is there a reason we went shopping so much when I was younger? Like, you know, like, how did it make you feel when you had your nails, hair, and toes done all the time? Like, but we were living with grandma. Like, how did that make you feel? This isn't me judging you. This is me trying to understand you, because I was told to do one thing, but I physically want to do something else because that's what I saw. And I'm trying to do something different. And the only way I can is if I understand why.
Right. And all of us have a money story. And when we're off at a university and we're a young adult, you know, we're on our own for the first time, it's easy to start to live that money story. So if you do have a tendency to overspend, if you have a tendency to deprive yourself, which is the other end of the spectrum, that university time frame is when you're going to start showing those patterns.
Exactly. Because no one's there to tell you no. That's the biggest thing. When someone's used to depriving themselves, they're going to do one or two things. They're going to grow up and give everything to everybody else and keep the bare minimum for themselves because they don't feel worthy. Or they're going to absolutely overdo it. Stuffed closet, stuffed pantry, stuffed refrigerator. Everything's going to be so impulsive because it's like they can finally have it. And no one can take it away from them. And no one can tell them that they can't afford it, you know, because they may get loan money from their school. They may have a part-time little job, you know, something that they're doing. And because these, you know, college students nowadays and even high school students are finding ways to make lots of money while they're in school. So they don't have a lot of debt when they get out. And so, yeah, it's definitely start during college years or young adult years.
What are some of the biggest money patterns you see?
Ooh.
Can you give us sort of the archetypes? And I know this won't be fully comprehensive, but what are some of the two or three biggest ones?
So top three biggest archetypes I would say I deal with are the people who are terrified to make changes within their budget. So like they don't pay their bills the way they're supposed to, but they don't necessarily feel like they have enough money. So they don't want to sit down and go through every little bill, how much it really is, how much their check is, and sit down with me. And what I find is that they're actually doing better than they think, but the physical act of paying something on a bill and being able to keep as much as possible in case something bad happens is typically what that person's trying to avoid. They think I'm going to tell them to put more money towards stuff and they're not going to have anything left, which is a fear of losing everything. The second archetype I deal with is someone who has a lot of money that's coming in. They figured out a way to make more money than they need, but they're not really sure how to manage it properly. So they feel like they're broke, but really they're not allocating their funds correctly. So they're not struggling. They just have their mindset in a struggle spot. And typically when I deal with them, where that's coming from, they grew up in a household where there was a lot of struggle. So even though they make like almost $100,000 a year in their mind, I'm still broke, but they're doing all kinds of stuff that doesn't make sense. And then the third one is really just the one that's scared. Just like they take a chance on stuff and it doesn't work properly because they always have it in the back of their mind that it's not going to work out. So I have a lot of mindset people that I have to show them, hey, you made sales this week. You may not have sold out your entire store, but guess what? You started a store and you make money, and there's always a but. Like, those are my but people. Like, I invested into this, but it didn't do this. I'm like, well, it did something. You know, maybe if you put a little bit more positive energy towards it, it'd do more. So that's kind of my three top like archetypes I deal with.
And you're right. When you're alone, whatever you are is going to maximize. If you are a university student and you are starting your journey, what advice would you give to start today in understanding how you deal with in your relationship with money?
Okay, so If I were back in college, what I would definitely do is start to learn how to allocate my income correctly. Definitely make sure that checking with my family, like, hey, I'm out here on my own. Anything could happen. I don't want any surprises. So if you have your own income, this is not to, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. I'm saying think about what happens if something happens, you know, the unexpected things, right? How would your family be able to take care of that? Allocate something towards that. Allocate making sure that you have, I don't care if you are in a room, like a house full of six other people and you pay $200-$300 a month. I don't know what that looks like nowadays in student housing. Make sure you get in the habit of having 3 to 6 months of that put back. Make sure you have 3 to 6 months of your utilities, whatever your bill is, whatever, you know, your insurance, keeping a safety net, start like getting in the process of doing that where, you know, okay, I'm about to transition and I need 60 days to get my life together. Okay. I have 60 days worth of money for whatever I need. Utilities can be paid. Car insurance can be paid. Even car note, you know, anytime you have an opportunity, this doesn't mean put that large sum back all at once, but let's just figure out, you know, sitting down with what you have, what is a safe amount of money that you can place somewhere where it can all go towards this is just in case I need to transition, because transition periods are going to happen, especially when you're coming from young adult age to like fully blooming into like, oh, I'm grown, you know, like I'm really out here. And then, you know, you got the college student moment where you put yourself in the mindset. I hate when they say it, but, you know, the broke college student life to, oh, I actually have to prepare for a career. I actually need to live somewhere. You know, after you've lived on a campus for so long, you got to prepare for those things. And if you decide you're going to get income for yourself, don't think about just the now. Think about when this is over, what am I going to have and how am I going to transition? Don't be afraid to have that conversation, because a lot of people that are actually like wealthy and have their money managed properly are always thinking about what's the next step? Let me make this investment because the future me needs me to do this so I don't have to struggle. Does that make sense?
It completely makes sense. And what you have might be smaller now in terms of the resources, but if you learn how to manage that properly and allocate that properly, when you add money to it and when that salary grows, it's not going to feel as hard because the practice isn't new. It's something you've already been doing.
Exactly. All you're doing is adjusting the numbers. That's it. Once you have your process, you just adjust it.
Right. So if you have $5,000 in your savings account, you can work with those numbers and allocate those numbers the same way that you might maybe one day be able to allocate $500,000. It's learning how to do it and getting yourself in good habits at that early age. What's your opinion on that?
Yes, 100%. Learning how to control your impulse, learning how to allocate an entertainment budget for yourself. If you like to go to the, you know, movies a lot, if that's your thing, whatever your thing is, start separating yourself. Say, okay, this is my budget for entertainment. If I want to go do anything regarding these things, this is what my amount is for the month that I can safely spend. Like, what can you safely spend? And it's not necessarily about like, oh, if you overdo it, you won't be safe. I'm not trying to trigger something in someone. What I'm trying to get them to do is have the discipline to say, I want to enjoy this and I'm going to allow myself to, but I'm not going to overdo it because I'm in a space where I'm going to have to transition eventually. And if I get used to just spending money however I want, that transition is going to be a lot harder.
Right. Because then you've essentially fed your impulse muscle, if you will. Everything we do is a muscle. We're either growing our discipline muscle or growing our impulse muscle. How did you tame back your impulse muscle? How did you learn how to build up that discipline muscle? Because that can be really daunting.
It was challenging, but I did this thing. I call them my money mind tricks. And I teach my clients these things all the time. So I started going into my favorite stores without my wallet on purpose. Sometimes I just had a lot of free time. I didn't have any kids at the time. So I would just go into Ross and just some of my favorite stores out there. And I would just walk around, look at things, and I would walk out without buying anything. And I did it a couple of times. And so I noticed when I started to actually go back and really needed something, like, dang, I need some new shoes, or, you know, there was something going on, I could go in and just get what I wanted to go in there for. And that's it. If I need sneakers, I'm going to get sneakers, and I'm going out. I'm not going towards the blouse section. I'm not going in the home decor section. That's not what I'm here for. And so I built it by not denying myself, but just saying, hey, I know if I have my wallet with me, I just want to get some time away. I started to realize I was going shopping a lot because I wanted to feel like I was escaping something. So I'm like, I can escape without spending money. I can get me a nice little cold drink because it's hot outside. I live in Texas. And I can just go in these stores and walk around and be like, ooh, this is cute, you know, and I can leave. It's okay to leave empty-handed because I can always go back and get it. But right now, I don't need anything out of here. This is just something I learned to enjoy from growing up and being at the mall and being in the department stores all the time. That's what we did for fun. So that's what I do for fun. And I just started to peel back on that.
Right. And needs and wants are different. And you said something profound there. You said you didn't need it. Needs and wants are huge. How do you define those?
So my needs for me is something that, like, if I don't have this, I can't complete dinner type thing. If I don't have the turkey sausage, I cannot make the nachos I want to make tonight. If I want something, it's because, oh, I really like this color and I don't have a skirt this color. And I really love this idea of this skirt going with this shirt. Do you need that right now? Like, is there some place you need to be where that outfit needs to happen right now? Like, there is a whole itinerary and the outfit, you know, is supposed to be this color with, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to stop trying to create a scenario in your mind to justify something that you don't really need.
I've done that so many times. I've purchased so many things for imaginary scenarios.
You want it because it looks good or feels good in some way. And it's okay to indulge in wants every now and again, whenever you feel like, okay, like for me, when I went to Walmart last time, I realized that there was some, like, you know, there's like jeans that I have that I'm like, I don't really wear these, but there are certain pants that I saw there that I was like, okay, I just got some blouses. Because my t-shirts are going, like, I realize when you start to find yourself, right, you start to make decisions differently. So I've given birth 5 times and my stomach is just not going to do what I wanted to do. So I know I want high-waisted skirts and I'm going to put my t-shirts with those. So I was like, well, I need some blouses to go with my jeans because I'm not doing the jeans and t-shirt thing anymore. I'm tired of people asking me if I'm pregnant. So this is not necessarily a need. It's something I want because I'm really tired of people telling me, when's the baby coming? There's no more babies coming. Like, I'm done. Like, and I have 6, but I gave birth to 5. So it started to become a thing where I'm creating my personal style. I'm growing into myself. I'm reaching into the next phase of my ages. And I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I can, and this is a part of who I am. So this is also you trying to find the pieces of yourself in certain things and overdoing it. To me, overdoing it would be going to the mall, creating a whole shopping trip, filling up my closet and throwing everything out and being like, I need all new stuff because I feel like I'm becoming a new person. No, I'm just tired of being people asking me if I'm pregnant. So I just got blouses and I got some pants and some dresses because it's hot. They're trying to cook us out here. And I got some dresses that go down to my knees because growing up, even in certain spaces such as churches, you know, religious backgrounds, there are certain things you're not allowed to wear. I was a preacher's kid. I didn't always get to wear shorts and skirts all the time. And when I did, it seemed like it was the most inconvenient time in the world. So growing up and becoming an adult, like, it's invigorating sometimes to be like, I can buy a dress that goes to my knees and actually feel okay with wearing that, you know? But that doesn't mean I'm going to go buy 15 of them.
That makes me laugh.
Yeah, I'm trying to break down the difference, though, because I didn't go buy the whole dress section in Walmart because I realized it's something I wanted, something I was missing as a kid. I got the color I liked, a couple of them. And that way I have something I can just run out of the house in if I need to go somewhere really quick and I don't feel like putting on a full outfit. But it's not like if I didn't get it, it would have made a big difference. I just know I'm hot, you know, and I don't want to wear jeans. So I fixed it.
And it's using that discernment. And I say this a lot. We are given the tool of discernment. All of us can discern more than we think we can discern, but it's learning to apply it to money decisions. And more often than not, there's going to be an emotional and a logical component to money decisions.
And that's kind of what happened. Like, I was like, okay, blouses can go with these pants, you know, and all that. But it was like, yeah, but we're only going to get what makes sense and what we know we're going to wear. And that's it. And I donated a bunch of stuff prior to going shopping, because I do believe if you're going to bring stuff in, you need to take stuff out. It just keeps you in the habit of not having a stockpile to feel like you're losing something. Get used to giving. That actually makes you feel better, you know?
That is a really good point. And speaking of good points, if you could give 3 pieces of advice to our university age students regarding their money mindset, their finances, what would those 3 pieces of advice be?
So one piece of advice that I want to tell you, I'm speaking to you directly now, is I want you to realize that who you are right now is in between who you decided you were going to be years ago and maybe were talked out of, and the person that you're going to discover as you get older, which very well may end up circling back to who you originally decided you wanted to be. I want to tell you, you may have already at some point in your life, probably between the ages of 7 and 12, made a decision that you wanted to do something with your life or become a certain person, and you may or may not have been talked out of it. But understand that after you go through these transitions and go through life, even when we talk about the money mindset piece, never lose yourself or try to redefine yourself with financial status. That's not how you fix that. I want you to get used to digging deep within yourself, checking in with your decisions, especially when it comes to finances. Your spending, your saving. How do you feel when you spend? How do you feel when you pay a bill? How do you feel when you go out with friends and you pay for brunch? You know, does that feel nice for you? And really start to peel back those feelings so you can stay in tune with who you are. So you're not 30, 40 years old out here lost in therapy trying to sort out all of that.
Because there are so many people that are that thing.
Yes. And that's why I'm trying to directly, because I'm like, don't do that to yourself. Second thing I wanted to tell you again, control your impulse. Do your very best to control your impulse. But take your deep breaths, pay attention to why you are doing certain things with your money. If you are that friend that has to keep the best sew in, the best, you know, nails, toes, best outfits, designer clothes, I really want you to examine who are you trying to make the world believe that you are. And be okay with becoming the person that you are when the makeup comes off, when the clothes come off and you're just at home in your jammies. I want you to be comfortable with bringing that person out, because I'm going to tell you now, that's going to get very heavy and very expensive. If you don't like responsibility, it's going to be hard to keep up with the designer image and the, you know, financial obligations as you get older.
And to your point, there are so many 30, 40, 50-year-olds still doing that. And when you fall into this habit of having to be a certain thing from a very young age, it's a burden you carry until you're ready to let go of it. And it's so much easier to never pick up that burden.
Absolutely. And I think the third piece of advice that I would give is be okay with sitting down and looking at your money. And I don't care how jacked up it looks. There are budget calculators all over Google. Plug your money into one and figure out what's going in, what's coming out, and what's supposed to be left over. And if that does not make sense, you need to go look at those bank statements and figure out what you're doing and pay attention to where most of your money is going. And that's where you start on building your financial habits now. And that's it. That's the advice I have.
And you're right, too. On your last point there, it's really, really scary. I remember the first time I actually looked, because I had always just assumed everything was going to be fine. And the first time I looked to answer someone's very specific question, I was like, oh my goodness, there was so much I didn't realize and so much I didn't know. And because finance is interwoven with all of our lives, there's no reason to leave that in the dark. And if it is triggering, go through that process in a way that's in your pace, in your time, and in your space.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you had to live your life by a specific quote, what would that be?
It's your journey. Live it the way you see fit.
Ooh, live it the way you see fit. I love that, because it takes all of that gross, yucky money shame out of the equation, because money shouldn't be shameful. And I'm going to go on a half of a tangent here. Money shouldn't make you feel bad about yourself. It should not. And for too many people, money is the thing that defines whether they're good enough or whether they're not good enough. And let's sort this at the very beginning so that you don't, like AJ mentioned, fall into all of that yucky behavior and patterns that none of us really want to experience. AJ, if people want to work with you, they want to find you, they want to maybe read some of the works that you've done, where can they go?
So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok under Guidance by AJ. You can also, if you can see my name in this podcast whenever it launches, you can find me on my actual page on Facebook and feel free to reach out to me, message me. I have my phone number, I have my email there. And, you know, there's still a couple of ways that you can book sessions and really cool things that are coming out, actually some digital products, some free resources I can send to you, even a budget planner that I can send a link to you and you can actually start and we can do it together if you want. So you can have a safe space, but that is how you can find me. And I would love to hear from some of you and help you out a little bit.
Oh my goodness, AJ, thank you so much for taking your time and your energy to share this with us. I feel like I learned. I've been convicted, which is always a good thing. I want to leave the conversation more convicted than when I came.
Oh, okay, good. That's awesome.
Thank you so much again. And thank you to everyone else for joining us on another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.